You are listening live to the program.
Brought to you by Worth Harley-Davidson. Online at WorthHarleyDavidson.com for new and used bikes. And bike nights every Thursday night at I-29 and Tiffany Springs. Why the hell not? You're worth it. I-29 and Tiffany Springs.
Your teams, your town, your program.
Good swing by Benintendi, and that's deep to center field. Bolt turns, and it's over the wall. Andrew Benintendi. Now Soler gets into one. Deep left center field. That is in the seats for a two-run home run. The Royals have three more in the eighth inning. Changeup, number seven for Minor. Chased again. That's eight strikeouts for Minor and two down in the seventh inning.
We talk about having a stopper, one of those starters that comes in, gives us that solid outing, and that was as good as we could ask for.
And now, already loading up his second cart of Bushnell goodies, Soren Petro.
Right you are, Kay. Right you are, Petro, on the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you for joining us here on what is now becoming cloudy, but that's okay. Maybe it'll keep the heat down. I heard Lezak this morning babbling, I think is the term I would use, about the potential for rain. He said it might rain, then again it might not, which I thought was fantastic insight from the guy who's paid to tell me what the weather's going to be.
Look outside.
We were looking, into a crystal ball a whole 4 hours down the road.
Here's why I don't like the clouds in this situation.
Lezak, this is why you don't like Lezak?
No.
What you're going to say?
Usually the clouds help if the heat isn't already there. And kind of okay. to me these clouds, I hate to be, negative Nancy here and negator. But once it's already hot and humid, I think the clouds just keep it in. It's like putting a lid on something.
Really?
we're too late for the clouds to have done any good to me.
Being that you go in and shelter indoors like it's a cataclysmic effect, are you really the guy to ask though?
No, not really. I'm usually they'd say, hey, what's it like inside? I will give you the indoors AC sit at 68 weather forecast for my apartment.
By the way, just so anyone, huge fan of Lezak, and I know that he basically gave two options. He said, "Listen, it could come in and we could get pounded, or it might just kind of miss us and we get a little bit." He explained it all, and I understand that predicting the weather. Do we nail every Chiefs game? Well, of course we do.
Yeah,
right. We've never missed a game. Every Royals game, of course we do. But who can expect the weatherman to be as accurate as we are predicting sports, right?
I would agree.
Yeah, there it is.
Basically,
never missed a Chiefs draft pick. Never missed a Royals draft pick. Nailed every college football and basketball season. 162-0. No, Lezak does a great job. I love his segment on the Border Patrol. But I like to give him grief.
Why not?
Have you ever been to a party with Lezak? And if you're like, I'm not sure, then no, you haven't. Because if you've been to one and he's there, you'll know it.
Yeah, right. Okay, yes. So
just tell you that he'll make sure you know that he is there. That is a fact. We're at the Bushnell Factory Outlet. I'm going to tell you, if you want to come out for a great deal, we come over here a couple times a year. And by the way, it's great to be inside with the folks, great Kansas City company here at Bushnell, and great partner of Sports Radio 810 WHB, and they always pull out all the stops for Father's Day, and this year is no different. 8500 Marshall Drive in Lenexa. I like to view it as like the northwest corner of 87th and I-35. Marshall Road is the outer road that runs along I-35 on the west side. So it's very easy to get to. Just go a little bit west of 35 on 87th and come on down Marshall Road. We're going to be on your left-hand side because the right-hand side would be the highway. So look to your left. That's if you're coming from 87th. If you're obviously coming from north of here, it'd be on the right side, but I always come from 87th, so there you go. If you are looking for gifts for a dad, or let's be honest, yourself, do you plan on being a dad at some point? Are you not sure that maybe from your college days you're a dad? Then you qualify for the Father's Day sale. That's a little humor there for you on Father's Day. Would have helped if Curtis had at least given me a courtesy laugh when I went down that road. Jed just looked down ashamed. I don't know what that means.
There's one thing I've learned from working with Jed over the last few years is that if you're looking for someone to just throw you a laugh to make you feel good about your joke, I would look elsewhere.
Yeah, it's not going to be Jed. We know that. How about this? Let me just list some of the things that you can get right now at the Bushnell Factory Outlet Sale. By the way, they're open today, 10 to 7, so till 7 o'clock. Saturday, 10 to 5, then Monday through Friday, 10 to 7, next Saturday, 10 to 5. So Monday through Friday, 10 to 7 here at the Bushnell Factory Outlet. Saturday, 10 to 5. How about this? $25 spotting scopes. Binoculars that start at $35. It's what you and I always take to the games. It's the only binoculars. If you're looking for a great gift, Dad loves to go to the games. Awesome. Use binoculars for any reason. These are the best in the business. $35 tactical rifle scopes, $40 trail cameras. End of season turkey decoy sale is going on right now. Up to 40% off on select night vision. Golf laser rangefinders for $130. I know there's one dad that's getting a laser rangefinder because this lovely lady came asking me, where are the laser rangefinders? And I said, you know what? I don't work here. But I can tell you where to go. And the guys helped out and said, here you go. So if you want a laser rangefinder, you get a golfer, get them for $130. $50 golf GPSs, 20% Camp Chef pellets for the pellet smokers, 20% off right now on those. Indoor golf simulator, you can come in and check it out. We're having a closest to the pin and a long drive contest. So come on down, take a shot. You can win fabulous prizes. Rudy, tell them what they win. Rudy's not sure. Now, we've got great prizes here from Bushnell. Come on down and check it out. You can also enter to win a disc golf rangefinder. You know, the disc golf is taking over. Did you know that there is team disc golf? And it's broadcast, and it's like a big thing.
Yep.
It's actually amazing. You know, they asked me, are you going to go hit a golf ball? And I said, no, I don't think anybody wants to watch a snowman hit a golf club. So, no, I'm not going to because I'm terrible at golf. But I think that, you know, disc golf, I would probably suck at that too, right? I put two and two together, and I'm not thinking I'm going to be any good at that either.
Yeah. It wouldn't be as obvious.
It might be.
I think you'd be stunned. It probably would be pretty obvious.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely
have more faith in my ability to throw a frisbee than to hit a golf ball because I can't hit a golf ball off a tee.
Well, it is funny.
Having played Frisbee, like Ultimate Frisbee and Frisbee Golf, and being like, oh, the two will translate. When you go down to Rosedale and you try and play that course, no, you find out they do not translate.
But you can enter to win a disc golf rangefinder. Come on down. Other sale items include backpacks, ground blinds, cleaning kits, shooting rests and mats, clay pigeon throwers, targets. It's all here at Bushnell. Great Kansas City company. Come check it out. 8500 Marshall Drive right here in Lenexa, Kansas. And the store is absolutely fantastic, and there are discounts everywhere. So rifle scopes, GPS trail cameras, laser range finders, sporting scopes, night vision, binoculars, they got it all. Come check out their telescopes. They are fantastic as well. It is a great, great time to be at the Bushnell Factory Outlet. We'd love to see you here today. In fact, we've got some of the how'd you describe the water bottles? The Keep Cold stainless steel water bottles. While they last, we'll give you one. Just stop on by, say hello, check out the store.
That's the thing. Even if by some off chance you've heard all the things you were mentioning and still think, I don't really need that stuff. One, you don't know what you don't need, or you don't know what
That's
you
right.
need. And two, if you walk into that place, you will find at least two things that you want, that you've thought about, that you forgot about, and they're at great prices. So just go.
Yes. And it's a Google Fiber H2 Go stainless steel water bottle. I'll give them to you as long as I got them. Come on by, say hello. That's all you got to do. Just come on by, say hello. Bushnell Factory Outlet sale goes all the way up till Father's Day, right? Next Saturday, a week from tomorrow, so take advantage of it. Monday through Friday, 10 to 7, Saturday, 10 to 5. We've got a lot to get to. David Leske's coming up a little bit later on this hour. Danny Unleashed, Danny Cleanscale will join us in the 3 o'clock hour. Two-minute drill at 4. Adam Teicher after that, talking Chiefs football. We'll get you what you need to know in the 5 o'clock hour. Kevin Harlan, the voice of America from CBS TNT Westwood One. He's been calling all the series, it seems like. But now zeroed in on the Nuggets and the Suns. We'll talk some NFL football, some NBA basketball with Kevin Harlan. We'll wrap things up with the kicker. Let's start with, a dream. I had a dream at one point, Curtis. Do you remember? You remember when people laughed at me and they mocked me and they said, you're just a starry-eyed dreamer. You're just a fool to think that they'll ever do anything other than bowl games. And slowly, during my career in the talk radio world, we finally got to a number one versus two. They called it the Bowl Alliance. And then we got to, what was it? What was next? What do we have? The
Bowl Coalition.
BCS. The Bowl Coalition, that was first, right?
Yeah.
Then we got the BCS, right? And we had one versus two. And it was good. We liked what we had, but we dreamt of better. And then they gave us a playoff, a 14 playoff. But we dreamt of more. My dream has always been a 16-team college football playoff. They've yet to arrive at that. But I am not going to be somebody who hates on serious progress just because they're not doing it exactly the way I want it to be done. I like 16. I like 11 conference champions, or 10, I think we're down to 10 conference champions and 6 at-large bids, seeded 1 through 16, basically like a quarter of the NCAA tournament bracket every year. I scribble out. I figure out what that bracket would look like. I'm not getting that, but I'm getting 75% of that, and I am not going to hate. And all it took was a global pandemic, hundreds of millions of dollars lost, lawsuits everywhere, federal laws being enacted that are taking power away from the colleges. That's all it took for us to get what common sense said we should have had 30 years ago. That's it.
That's all.
That's all it took. Name, image, and likeness lawsuits all over the place. States enacting federal laws telling the schools what they have to do. A global pandemic. Hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars in lost revenue. If we had known that that's all it took, couldn't we have knocked over a test tube in a lab in China years ago and gotten us to this point a long time ago?
The world's spinning off its axis, you know.
I mean, all they had to do was...
Red becoming green.
All they had to do was tell me it was that easy.
Yeah.
That's it. If I'd have known it was so simple, for crying out loud.
We'll say you have been the by far and away the leading proponent of playoffs and expanded playoffs. So,
thank you.
You are before anybody else started talking about it. You were the first person I remember kind of pushing for that. And once he got it, hey, four's great. Let's expand it.
I feel good. I'm going to proclaim success and victory now.
Yeah.
I literally, you're kind to say that, and yeah, I know you're somewhat tongue in cheek, but I will tell you, I actually, you can ask Pete Enoch this. Pete and I talked about a playoff in college football in 1994 on KCTE AM 1510. Team.
Yep. I'm not being tongue in cheek at all.
Well, I appreciate
that's legit.
That. But it's, you know, to me, it's long overdue. And listen, I know I kid, I joke around about what it took to get here. And I do think that's why it's here. I think it's absolutely why it's here. Money, right? Lost revenue is what brought them to this point. The schools, the check has been there. And I think the bigger question is, like, how, I don't understand how college athletics can be such an outright money grubbing pig, but be so bad at getting money.
Exactly.
Like, it, you know, you can ask Jeff Passan, who contributed along with, who's our buddy at Yahoo, the columnist at Yahoo. God bless. Rogue Glory Road.
Oh, Dan Wetzel?
Dan Wetzel. Jeff Passan and Dan Wetzel. Is he going for a beverage run? Oh. You're going to a meeting? I thought you were going on a beverage run. Come on. Rob Manning going to bail on us. All right, we'll let you go, buddy. Have a good weekend, brother.
He wants to go watch the replay of Oklahoma winning the Women's College World Series yesterday.
Yes, he does. I forgot. Hey, congrats on the softball. I let him know. I thought, you know, I forgot to grab a soda on the way over here, so I thought I was not going to miss out on that opportunity. But I digress. Listen, I just don't understand how you could be such an unadulterated, money-grubbing pig and just suck at grubbing money.
You've already established who you are. Be good at it.
Yeah, Passan and Wetzel wrote in Death to the BCS. I would still encourage you to go pick up the book. A lot of it now, is you'll see how obvious this was and how many years ago those guys worked on that book. And something we talked about, that there are literally tens, hundreds of millions of dollars. They even said billions of dollars that are out there to be had if you would just play the playoffs. And what did we hear? All this mindless drivel. And I hope at some point, like, you know, if you, you know, you I mean, no one's going to do this, right? I'd love for you to do it. But write down, take a sticky note. If you have, like, we have this pushpin board at the office where we'll take things that we've said or we've done, and we write it down, or we, or it's a printout or whatever, and we tack him on the board. And I don't know, like, we haven't done it now for, what, 16 months because of being out of the office for a big chunk of that and being in different spots and all that. But every now and then I'd stop by the board and I'd look at it. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. 3 years ago, we projected who the Chiefs' offensive line would be. Huh, look at that. We weren't even close, you know? Like, or, wow, we didn't do that bad. Like, just, like, write these things down every now and then.
It's a great exercise for making future projections. Once you realize how difficult it is to do something, you maybe will think a little bit more the next time you try to do it. It's a terrific. I recommend anyone do that as their sports fan.
The easiest one is, like, NFL draft time. If you can, do it when the Chiefs are on the clock. Make your pick. Write those down. Pin it on a board and look 5 years later after they've cycled through all those contracts and see how you did. And you'll be like, oh, my God, you know what? That Brett Veach is pretty damn good.
Yeah.
When you realize how poorly you did.
Now, don't,
right? How hard
don't
it is.
Do all seven rounds and then chase us around like the kid looking for his $2 and better off dead for a month and saying, look at my draft.
4 years later, after the fact, cherry picking the one guy in each round that would have been a better pick. Yeah, nice call.
Yeah,
we all have the hindsight of 2020, right? Like that, you know, that works for all of us. But do it at that time, and you'll find out where it is. That's what's great about going back to the death to BCS is you'll read that book and you'll be like, well, this has been obvious. And you're going to hear, and this is where I say, write down what I say. Write down what Curtis says. Write down what Sam Mellinger writes. Write down what Jeff Passan writes. Just make a note. Find something that you think is interesting, and we say, hey, this is where the way it's going to be, or watch for this, right? And when Jeff Passan writes a column, or hopefully when we do a podcast now, whatever, you know, you have a way to track what we said. And you watch what you would find if you'd done this over the last 20 years. How many media fatties were out there saying, oh, the integrity of the regular season? 10 years after we get to this 12-team playoff, find me someone who's like, God, this just sucks. Man, these playoffs are crap. I just wish we could go back to this mythical national champion where nobody even plays each other. Boy, it was great in the 80s. Man, I just love that. You find me anyone that says that. Yet how many of them were there, right? Like Bill Hancock. Love Bill Hancock. He's like the head guy of the playoffs now, right? Bill Hancock's different. He's paid to be an image director. But Bill Hancock has said, oh, no, we don't want a playoff. You know, back when he was in charge of the BCS, like the 1 versus 2 is all we need. Then we get to a 4-team, and Bill Hancock says, well, you know, the 4 teams, that's perfect. It's all we need. We have no plans to expand. Well, that's his job, right, is to sell what we're doing now. But media people are supposed to ask questions, dig in, and do it. And it just has irked me all these years of all the people that would sit there and tell you, oh, no, the sanctity of the regular season. Well, when this happens in, what, a couple of years, I better see that regular season college football ratings just fall off a cliff. Nobody's watching them at all. I had better see that there are no television ratings. Or all these clowns at a keyboard and in front of a camera and with a mic in front of them that have gone on and on and on for years about how, oh, it's just going to ruin college football. I better see 5,000 people at a game in Manhattan, Kansas. 5,000, because this is just going to poison college football, is what they've said forever, then I better see this dark day. Like, I would love to go and research all the columns that have been written, the shows, from all the Nimrods that sat there and told you college football will crumble if we get a playoff. Is anybody negative about this today? Is you see, read anybody anywhere? Like, they're like cockroaches running for the darkness, but they're out there. They're out there. This has been the most obvious thing. Listen, I am thrilled. Better late than never. Everything takes longer. It's you're not turning a jet ski. You're turning a cruise ship. All the different things. Yes, yes. But we're here, and I'm not going to be negative. But this is something that I have wanted, and I couldn't have been happier when they said they were putting that committee together, and I was thrilled. 12 is not ideal for me. 16 is ideal. I've heard people. Well, I don't know that there's 12 teams that can really win a national championship. Irrelevant. Irrelevant. Do you really think 16 teams started the NBA playoffs and all 16 of them had a shot? No. No. But is NBA playoff basketball better than regular season basketball? Yes. Do I like the playoffs every night? Going home and watching meaningful? Yes, I do. Absolutely. Do you think in a baseball season that, that all 30 teams have a shot? No, it's not. It's like, but this is fine. And just to have, like, the end of the road, the conclusion of the journey is not everything. Part of it, part of the satisfaction, part of the joy, part of the life experience is the journey. So even if 8 of the 12 teams have no shot, which I don't think is the case, however many of them, 2 of them, 4 of them, 6 of them, 8 of them, is irrelevant. The journey is now better, okay? And that is great for sports. Great for sports. I want to get into the Royals, Young Guns, some great stuff, great Twitter back and forth between David Leske and Curtis Siebold about Jackson Coar. We're going to get into that next. David Leske is going to join us from Inside the Crown. We're going to switch gears, talk some Royals baseball. We'll do it right here from the Bushnell Factory Outlet. Their Father's Day sales event is going on now. 8500 Marshall Drive in Lenexa, the northwest corner of 87th and I-35. That's how I think of it. Marshall Drive is the outer road here on the west side of I-35. Everything. All kinds of sales going on everywhere. If you have got a dad that you're buying a gift for, this is perfect. Everything outdoors, from spotting scopes, $25, binoculars starting at $35, tactical rifle scopes, you got a hunter on your list, $35 tactical rifle scopes, $40 trail cameras, end-of-season turkey decoy sales going on right now, up to 40% off select night vision, golf laser rangefinders, you got a golfer, but starting at $130, $50 golf GPS, 20% off on Camp Chef pellets for the pellet smokers. They got an indoor golf simulator, got a closest to the pin contest, long drive contest. Come take your shot at that, and you can enter to win a disc golf rangefinder, plus all kinds of other great deals that's going on right now at the Bushnell Factory Outlet Sale. Father's Day is coming up. Get the best gifts for dad right now at the Bushnell Factory Outlet, 8500 Marshall Drive, right here in Lenexa.
Due to circumstances beyond our control, we now present
The Program with Soren Petro. Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB. He's taken Larry King to a Prince concert. He's eaten Dairy Queen while watching a Duke game.
Certainly Duke is Duke.
He's seen the Princess Bride with his friend Earl.
Inconceivable.
Yeah, it's safe to say he's obsessed. With the Royals. From Inside the Crown, it's David Leske on The Program.
I'm still totally embarrassed that it took me like 6 months to figure out what the hell you were going for on that. Now it seems so obvious. Impressive. We're at the Bushnell Factory Outlet today. The Father's Day sale is going on. We'd love to see you while we're here, but the important part is for you to get here. Best gifts for dad are right here at the Bushnell Factory Outlet. They've been making dads happy on Father's Day for years and years and years. We love coming over here. Great Kansas City company. Locally owned and operated, 8500 Marshall Drive right here in Lenexa, right off I-35. So even if you live a little ways away, not a problem. It's literally right off the highway. Just hop off, go to Marshall. It's on the west side of the road, and come on in. Monday through Friday, 10 to 7. Saturday, 10 to 5. Got the indoor golf simulator. You can come take a shot at the closest to the pin, the long drive contest, $80 golf GPS, golf laser rangefinders for $130. If you're a golfer, you're going to love it. If you're a hunter, all kinds of great things for the hunters on the list. And we have confirmation. It turns out Jed does have friends. Derek just came down and actually admitted to being a friend of Jed's, and I thought that was absolutely fantastic.
Derek,
very impressed.
Derek is a man I've known for a very long time. I paid him several hundreds of thousands of dollars to claim that he was my friend, but he has known me for a while.
Oh, just a beautiful young lady for his daughter, just a sweet girl, talkative and so polite, great manners, but, you know, not shy at all. It was great to meet Derek, nice guy. And we joke around about Jed, but Jed's a great guy, and I'm not shocked that a great guy with a great young daughter would be your friend, Jed. So just don't want to, you know, not trying to be. I heard Corey Anderson giving a, when I was listening on the app in Colorado, you know, apologizing to Shane. And I was like, wow, what an idiot. No, I'm kidding. But I thought, well, you know, make sure everybody knows we're not, you know.
New leaf, new Petro. Yeah. Nah, I love it. You know. You're a good man too, Soren. Thank you for the kind words. All right, let's stop this love fest and get to Leske.
Be cooped up in a car with your wife and kids for 10 and a half hours. You know, you think about some things.
You know who's terrible? David Leske. What an awful human being.
Brought to you by our friends at Hen House. Take advantage of the great specials. Go to henhouse.com. We'll be at Hen House tomorrow, I'm sure, getting bagels for breakfast. David Leske will join us right now on our T-Mobile guest line. David, how are you, sir?
Well, I mean, I didn't realize you can get paid to be Jed's friend, so now I'm a little disappointed. Yeah. But, you know, it's all right. I'll get through it.
Yeah, check's in the mail, David. Check is
okay,
in the
perfect.
Mail. Jackson Kowar, you know, you fired out on Twitter. I saw you and Curtis going back and forth about his debut. And you kind of backpedaled, not backpedaled. You said, well, maybe I was too harsh. I don't say backpedaled. You said, maybe I was too harsh. I don't think you were. Like, the Royals, we were discussing this. Why is it seem that so often, and maybe it's we're just not seeing the trees through the forest, and it's like this with every team out there, and we just, you know, there's a guy here or there, all on different teams always, that end up hitting the ground running as top quality players. In reality, almost all young players really struggle, and we just don't see it. But it does seem like the Royals really have a hard time getting guys off to a good start when they bring them up.
They do, yeah. Now, the reason that I felt I was too harsh, just to explain that for a second, is it's kind of like the poker mentality where you remember every bad beat, but you never remember when you hit a one-outer on the river to win the hand. And, like, think back to last year. Brady Singer was pretty good. He came up. He had a good first couple starts. He had a couple bad starts here and there, but he never really faltered. Chris Bubich, not quite as good, but the same way. So they have had success with guys coming up. It just seems so glaring when Lynch came up and struggled so much, and then Kowar on Monday night. But other teams had the problem too. Look, the Mariners just had to send down Kelnick. Logan Gilbert wasn't great when he came up, so that's just their example off the top of my head. But at the same time, I mean, Lynch was pretty big of a flame out in his three starts. Mm-hmm. Kowar didn't last an inning in his first start. I mean, it's not just, well, he gave up six runs in three and a third innings. No, he gave up four runs in two-thirds of an inning. He looked – what got me was he looked so overmatched by the moment. And it wasn't the Angels, I don't think. It was the moment that he just – yeah, he didn't have anything. he looked like a guy who was so enamored by that third deck that he couldn't command anything. He couldn't do anything that he wanted to on the mound. And that just really surprised me. And, yeah, in my mind, my thought was maybe the Royals should have known that he would have this issue. But at the same time, and this is another reason I backed off a little bit, maybe they didn't. Maybe there was no way for them to know because he's pitched in big games. I mean, he's got the save to win the College World Series, which is not the same as a big league game, but it's a huge situation. He never really seemed overmatched in Omaha. Again, AAA, who knows? But I don't know. Maybe they should have seen it. Maybe there was no way they could have seen it. It gets you thinking because it seems to happen a lot with them.
Yeah, I remember talking actually with Howard Baird when he was the general manager, and that was the first time I'd heard the third deck syndrome or the triple deck syndrome about when you go into that big league ballpark, you just don't know what they're going to do. It's a whole new ball game, and maybe now he's got it out and he's going to be lights out here moving forward. You know, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I was really excited to see his second inning because it felt like maybe he just gets out of his system, but he just couldn't get through it. And now his second inning is not going to come until tomorrow. I think tomorrow may be more telling than Monday was. But you know, still, it was really bad on Monday.
Yeah, it was, and I think also, you know, and I think this is a good thing. There's frustration for the fans because the games matter, right? They're kind of in it. No one thinks they're going to get there. Everyone thinks they're going to fall short. But we want this little party to last as long as possible with the Royals being in contention. And so, you know, it's frustrating. And I think that's a good thing. And I think it's good for Kowar and these young pitchers to know that the fans are upset. You know, Jeff Passan and I got into it a little bit stunning the other day about, you know, I said something about the fans. He's like, yeah, the fans don't matter. He said, I don't mean they don't matter for the games, but they don't matter. I vehemently disagree with that. I've watched Angel Barroa kick the ball around in 2003 and look like a boob, get booed off the field when the Royals were off to a great start, and then get harangued with questions like, hey, what about the fans booing you, all this, and then play really good baseball the rest of the year, win the American League Rookie of the Year, and that was the best year of his career. And the fans that day, I'm telling you, he was visibly shaken at his locker, and I absolutely think the fans made a difference. I think they made a difference in 14 after the All-Star break when they said enough is enough. We have waited long enough for Dayton Moore in this regime, and they were out for Dayton Moore and Ned Yost's scalp. And I think the players, you know, responded because they knew, wait a minute, we're going to lose this manager and general manager that we like, and I think they absolutely influenced the team. So I think it's good for there to be frustration from the fans, yeah, for there to be expectations. I think that's part of the development, you know, process. But do we need to check ourselves a little bit? We're going to get a great run. What do we got? Singer, Bubic, Kowar in a row here. I'll go back to, like, the, if you want to call them the big four, throw in Lynch. If you get a top-of-the-rotation guy, a bottom-of-the-rotation guy, and a good reliever out of it, you beat the odds on those four. Like, do we need a reminder about that? Because they've come so far so fast that there's this feeling like everyone is waiting for them to be the one, two, three, and four, two co-number ones and two number twos out of these four. Like, maybe we just need to calm down the expectations a little bit.
Well, and it's not just those four. Asa Lacy is the guy who he's the third number one. And then Jonathan Bolin, before he got hurt, he was going to be the second number four. Alec Marsh, number three, probably. You know, they were going to have a 12-man rotation with every single prospect being an absolute stud, which I'm kind of curious how that would work, actually. But, you know, that's another story for another day. I think that's fair, because the fact that they've all gotten to the big leagues is a win. I mean, yeah, you want your first-round picks to get to the major leagues, and they should get to the majors and all that. But at the same time, you know, they don't all do it. I mean, we should know that better than anybody as Royals fans. I mean, I can think back, Mike Fedulka, Chris Labanski, all these guys who I don't think they got past double A. You know, it's difficult. It's very hard to develop big league, especially big league pitchers. And they've gotten all four to the majors. Now, they were college guys, and they should have gotten there. And I'm not saying that they deserve a gold star for four guys throwing a big league pitch. But that's impressive in itself. And yeah, I think that the odds are one of these guys is not going to make it. Or they might make it. They might bounce around for 12 years and throw 47 innings a year for six different teams. You know, whatever it might be. But the odds are one or two aren't going to make it. And that's the same – that's the case with the other guys I mentioned that are still in the minors
well,
right now.
How about this, David? How about this? Sorry to interrupt you, but, I mean, every one of these guys was taken well after Aaron Crow, who went 12th overall, and the year before, as he sat out, he went 9th overall.
Yeah.
If one of these guys has an Aaron Crow career now, this town is going to act like Dayton Moore doesn't have any idea what he's doing, when in reality, they're all taken at a spot that if you get anything out of them, other than, say, Brady Singer at 18, but even sandwich picks. You go back and look at the sandwich picks, I mean, on the baseball reference page, half of them don't even have a major league stat,
yeah,
right? So I do think we need to – that's why they've gone – you know, John Sherman said to me in one of the interviews we did with him, I said, well, what's your philosophy? He said, well, my philosophy is to get to a point where you feel like you have too much pitching and then get more pitching. But that's the owner who can
makes
figure
sense
that
to
out,
me.
Right? Like we need to, I think we all need to maybe relax on how much we're expecting from these young pitchers.
Well, and this also goes back to something we've talked about a few times this season and before the season. They got to pick the right one to trade too, because
right.
And you know, we talked about this a little bit, that Dayton Moore doesn't ever want to fleece a team. And I hate that mentality. Like get out there and absolutely screw somebody. I don't care. And you know, if he picks a guy, if he says we don't think, I'm going to use Alec Marsh because he hasn't pitched in the big league. We don't think Marsh is going to be a big leaguer, but he has good numbers in Double-A and he's throwing 97 and all this. And so we're gonna send him to get that big bat that we want for the middle of the order, or to go get the top of the rotation starter to make it so these guys don't have to be that guy, all, whatever it is. And, you know, I'm not going to tell them I don't think they're any good, all that. Do it! And they've got to pick the right guy. They have to do that, because if they say Alec Marsh is the guy, and I don't think he is. I'm not just using him as the name because he's the only one who hasn't debuted or a Lacy or whoever you might want to call it. If they trade that guy, and then he becomes a stud, and the guy they don't trade becomes a number five starter or a seventh inning guy, then they screwed up. They made the wrong choice, and they can't get that wrong. And you know, I mean, maybe they can get it wrong because they've drafted so many pitchers, and because even if they get one wrong, they're going to get another one right or whatever it might be. But they need to pick the right players to keep, pick the right players to move, get them moved at the top of their value if they're going to move. I mean, there's a lot of factors at play here, and it becomes more important because you're right. They're not all going to make it. They're not all going to be good. And that's why they've picked so many. So I think they've done the first part really well, and now it's on to step two, and we'll see how they handle that.
I had somebody in the Royals organization that I would go and I would talk to about their drafts back in the day. And, you know, I don't know why I haven't done it, partially because I started realizing getting a big breakdown on picks 6 through 40 is kind of a waste of time because most of them are going to do diddly. But I remember going through and Kila Kaahui, correct me if I'm wrong, I want to say it was like a 4th or 5th round pick. And I remember going through him in the organization. I'm like, okay, tell me about this guy. And he's like, one of those – now, this is a long time ago, right? He's one of those walk guys. Best case scenario, we trade him to the A's for more than he's worth. Right? This is not long after Moneyball. And clearly the Royals at that time, you know, this predates Dayton Moore and his regime. It wasn't anybody that's currently in the organization. But, you know – I bring that up, and Kila, he did end up, by the way, end up with the A's. Stunning. But I thought right there, like, that's exactly what you're talking about. That mindset of, okay, yeah, if he blows up and hits 50 home runs in the minor leagues, and great, we've got a guy, we'll hang on to him. But they really didn't think he had the chops to be an everyday big leaguer. They were hoping he'd hang numbers in the minors and they could spin him for something that they wanted. And that's exactly – and I think Dayton Moore does that right. And maybe even behind closed doors, he's like, dude, we can hose this team with this guy. They could use one of those trades, right? Oh, yeah. They really could. I mean, those trades that make a team. What was the one the Twins made? AJ Pierzynski to the Giants.
Oh,
for
yeah,
like
they got, Liriano, and did they get Buffonzer? Who was the third
Buffonzer,
one?
Buffonzer, Francisco Liriano, and like one or two other pieces as well.
Yeah, there was another decent. Oh, Joe Nathan.
Yes, Joe Nathan.
Yeah. Decent. He was great.
Yeah.
That was an absolute bonkers trade.
Yeah. Those are the ones that set them up and set the Twins up to you know, be in the playoffs year after year after year. And so, look, I'm with you 100% on that. And it is exciting, though, to get them up here and get the experience, right? And I am – do you agree? Curtis and I were talking about this morning. You know, every pitcher only has so many bullets. Maybe, you know, they've got an entire, you know, armory full of bullets like Nolan Ryan. But even Nolan Ryan finally broke down at like age 46. There was a final bullet to Nolan Ryan, you know, almost 50 years old that happened. Once Coar is just owning AAA, there's no point in wasting any more bullets down there, right? Like it's time for the next stage. If he's getting his brains beat out, you got to send it back to build back up the confidence. But for the most part, it's time for those bullets to be spent where the record really matters, right?
Yeah, I mean the only argument against that would be if they said, hey, look, we know he's dominating AAA, but we don't think he's going to handle the big leagues. And at that point, you go, okay, well, I don't want to trust my internal evaluations there, that he's not in the right headspace or whatever it is. But I don't think they ever had that issue. I don't think they even had an inkling that what happened on Monday was going to happen. So, yeah, absolutely. When he's got a, what is it, 0.85 ERA, and he's 40 strikeouts and 30 or whatever it was, and just absolutely dominating AAA hitters, you're not learning anything down there. And I still believe, even though they're in the race somewhat, that this is – I've said this before. This is the last season. The record is not as important as the development. And so if it takes 7 starts with a 6.5 ERA for Coar to learn something so that he can come out next season and do probably not what he's in Omaha, but some version of that in the big leagues next year when the record does matter, then it's worth it. It's worth it for the loss, and people don't want it. People say, well, they've lost so many, you know, Dayton Moore's got 3 winning seasons in 15 years and all that, and that's true, but can't change the past right now, and they're 4 years into this rebuild. And, sorry, it's not a rebuild according to Dayton Moore, but it's 4 years into since they got rid of the they lost the championship
right.
4. It's only, I mean, 4 years is not that long in baseball, and that's why I think that if they were to go, I don't think this is going to happen. But if they lost, they went 62-100, but Coar, Singer, Bubich, Lynch, Kyle Isbell, Nick Prado, all got big league experience and were ready to go to be huge contributors in 2022. Then it would be a successful season. Now, if that happens next year, it's a failure because you can't be a fifth year and not care about the record. But I think this season, if it takes him getting his brains beat in a little bit to learn some things and get better for next year, then it's worth it. So, and yeah, I want those bullets down at the big league level because he's just toying with AAA hitters. He's not learning anything there. And, you know, we'll see. We saw Minor dominate the A's yesterday, but it's a good lineup. It's still a good lineup, and it's going to be tough for him. But I'm also, like I said, really curious to see what his second inning looks like because he doesn't have that aw shucks moment again.
We're talking to David Letsky from Inside the Crown. Does a great job breaking down the Royals. Offensively, listen, they broke out with some timely hitting. You looked like they weren't going to get any yesterday, and they scratch a couple across, give them a chance to get a win, and then they tack on, you know, kind of a, you know, the what's his name, the third baseman for the A's kind of falling down as he's going for a ball. But listen, you have rockets right at guys. When a guy kind of stumbles when he's going for the ball, you don't have to apologize. The ball was well struck, right? And so they get some runs. Here's last question for you is this. Mondesi's going to be healthy at some point, probably not for that long, but he's going to be healthy at some point. And when you get him in, and with Prado hitting, and I heard, you know, Jeff Passan saying, hey, you know, maybe May 1st next year, right, by avoid the service time, you know, to where he'd get a full year. We could see Prado at first and you know, Carlos Santana to the DH, probably waving goodbye to Jorge Soler is my expectation on that. But Prado and also with Bobby Witt Jr. and a healthy Adalberto Mondesi, is the rest of this lineup good enough? Is that a championship lineup, or do they still need another bat somewhere?
Well, I think some of that depends on how Merrifield and Salvi age, right? Merrifield's not having a great year. Salvador Perez is 31. He's having a really nice season again, but can he keep that up? That's the question, because if you've got Merrifield at the top and Perez in the middle that you can slot in with Benintendi, theoretically Nick Prado, let's assume this is what he is. And not a 1,200 OPS guy in the majors, but a good offensive first baseman, Carlos Santana. I mean, I think that's a lineup that can win if your pitching is above average. But if Merrifield declines, if Salvi declines, if Prado doesn't become, you know, whatever, if Witt takes a little while to figure it out, Bobby Witt, not Whit Merrifield, that's you need better pitching than that. And so it's still a lineup with probably more questions than you want for a team that's expecting to compete for a division title next season internally. Whether you believe that or not, that's whatever. But the Royals expected to contend for a division title next year. And I don't know. I feel like they need another – it would be nice to get one more proven bat in the middle of that. It would be nice if it was a center fielder. I don't know. I haven't really looked. I don't know what's out there. But they don't really have a center fielder in the system. So I think they still have a little work to do, but it's going the right direction. And it's a really good sign for the offensive development and what that they overhauled before last season that we never got to see, that Prado is raking. MJ Melendez is raking. Bobby Witt Jr. is really coming around. We've seen, I mean, the Omaha lineup, it's a lot of veterans, but I mean, they're just destroying the ball. There's some good offense coming out of the minors, and it looks like their new system is working. And that's huge because it looked pretty bare offensively before the season. And so far, the returns are good. We'll see if that continues.
All right, let's get to our University of Kansas Health System Final Four with David Letsky. He's here, brought to you by our friends at Hen House. David, I will start you with this. When do we see Prado? I've asked you about Bobby Witt Jr. What's your date on Prado?
Well, he's got to be added to the 40-man before next season. And so I could see it maybe if they end up moving on from Soler this season. Now he's starting to heat up, so we'll see. But if they move on from Soler, I could maybe see Prado come up in September. They only expand the rosters by a couple of spots this year. It goes from 26 to 28. You don't get all 40 anymore. But since he's got to be added anyway, I don't know. You might see him get a shot. If he doesn't come up this year, I would not be surprised if he makes the opening day roster. That's just the way the Royals operate. They don't worry about service time to the detriment or to the good. Who knows? But I think it's either September or April, whatever opening day is.
They have got wonderful disc golf range finders, regular golf range finders, golf laser range finders for $130 here at the Bushnell Factory Outlet Father's Day sale that's going on. Are you a better disc golfer or real golfer?
I'm not good at either, but probably a better real golfer because I have no aim with the disc golf.
Okay. All right. I like it. I like the honesty. That's a good one. I appreciate the The honesty there.
Hey, I'm nothing if not terrible at golf.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. All right. Have you ever whitewater rafted?
No, and I probably never will.
Oh, you should do it. Did it while I was up in Colorado. It was great. You can go on the baby ones. Trust me. There was no heroic. Yeah. The class three was the highest that we were on. The kids had a great time. I loved it. It was awesome. Although I have muscles in my leg that I didn't know that I had that are still sore 3 days later. All right. And finally, who is going to be the best young starting pitcher out of this bunch for the Royals right now? Who are you feeling?
Oh, boy. I still think Lynch, honestly. I just love the slider, and I think the way he thinks about the game, I would not be surprised. He may take his lumps this year, but I would not be surprised if he comes back next year an absolute force, because he's one of those guys that just really uses the information and does everything to get better. He and Bubich are similar in that way, but I think Lynch is the guy.
You're the man, David. Great stuff as always. We invite everybody to read his great work at Inside the Crown. It's David Leskey. You hear him here in the program every Friday. David, you're the man. Have yourself a great weekend.
You too. Thanks, Ren.
All right, David Leskey there. We'll talk some more baseball with Danny Klingscale coming up in our next hour. Father's Day sales event. It's going on right now at the Bushnell Factory Outlet, 8500 Marshall Drive in Lenexa. People taking advantage of all kinds of great deals going on right now. $35 tactical rifle scopes. His dad a hunter? He's going to love it. Great deals here. The end of the season turkey decoy sale is going on right now. $25 spotting scopes. You can take advantage of all kinds of specials throughout the Bushnell Factory Outlet. Locally owned and operated right here in Lenexa, 8500 Marshall Drive. If you can't get here today, that's too bad, but they're open till 7 tonight, 10 to 7 Monday through Friday, Saturdays 10 to 5. It's the Bushnell Factory Outlet Father's Day sales event.
The program with Soren Petro.
You miss? What's that?
It's a lemony garbanzo dip.
You have never seen a football in your life.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You're in the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB as we're live at one of our favorite spots, the Bushnell Factory Outlet. What a great place. If you're looking for gifts for Dad, no better place anywhere on planet Earth to go than right here. Is Dad a golfer? Does he like to get outside? Listen, does he like to go to games? Binoculars starting at $35 right here at the Bushnell Factory Outlet. I'm going to tell you, Kevin Harlan has used Bushnell only for his entire broadcast career. He told a great story. Maybe we'll ask him about it tonight. When we have him on at the 5 o'clock hour, he told a great story. We got him some binoculars, some Bushnells. Like, he'd been using the same Bushnell binoculars for like over 20 years. And we got him some new binoculars from the folks here at Bushnell. So whether it's hunting gear, golf laser rangefinders, they're starting at $130, $50 golf GPSs, backpacks, ground blinds, cleaning kits, shooting rests, mats, clay pigeon throwers, targets. It's all on sale right now. It's all for Dad here at the Bushnell Factory Outlet, 8500 Marshall Drive in Lenexa.
Time for our Deli Fresh end of the hour question, sponsored by Good Sense, chosen by KC sandwich lovers for 30 years. Good Sense, not because it's easy, but because it's better.
All right, three pitchers have thrown a solo no-hitter and been part of a combined no-hitter. Name any one of them. Brought to you by Good Sense.